Kalman Aaron's an artist in Los Angeles. He's painted portraits of everyone from Ronald Reagan to Andre Previn. Aaron has had a successful career.
But what most people don't know is how this Latvian native wound up in California. Kalman Aaron was born in Riga in 1924 to a family of Orthodox Jews. When the Nazis came to power, his family was literally torn apart, and the teenage boy went from work camp to concentration camp before the Allies liberated the camps. Kalman Aaron survived on his wits and on his artistic skills. His story is chronicled for the first time in a new book called Into the Light, The Healing Art of Kalman Aaron by Susan Bielby McGee. I was curious how a non-Jewish California native wound up telling the story of a Jewish Holocaust survivor.
My mom was an interior decorator, and she went to the store that she got her paintings framed for herself and her clients, and in the window was this stunning pastel of a Mexican boy with black eyes. She had lost a baby at 9 months with jet black eyes, and that pastel went right into her heart, and she said, "Who did it? I want him to come and paint not only my two living daughters, but the child, the baby that I lost." So I was 6 years old, and he walked into my living room and painted my portrait. 50 years later, completely out of the blue, he asked me to tell his story. He had never gone into depth about what happened to him, and he finally decided to do it.
50 years later, had you been in contact with him?
About every 10 years. He and Mom were soulmates. They were friends forever. And she introduced him to all of her clients. So she kept him busy doing portraits in the 50s. So he's lived on his art all of his life. And then he became famous, and he did Ronald Reagan and Henry Miller and Andre Previn and a lot of well-known public people. I became a friend of his and maybe saw him once every 10 years. And I went out to Palm Springs to visit my mom. I called him in 2003 and said, "Why don't you bring some of your new art out?" He had just seen the movie The Pianist. He said, "I've never wanted to tell my story. I've been asked. I don't trust the people who've wanted to write it or film it." And completely out of the blue, with his blue eyes, he turned to me and said, "Susan, will you write this story?"
Why you? Why did he choose you?
Intuitive. He's an intuitive man. There's nothing cognitive about it. He intuitively knew that he could trust me. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm not Jewish. I have no history with the Holocaust. In fact, I had read when I lived in Seattle in my 20s a book about the Polish ghetto, and I said, "I'm never getting near this subject again. It upset me too much."
And it is an upsetting story. You kind of blithely went over Kalman Aaron, born here, child prodigy, did this. But in fact, his early childhood leading up to being sent off to internment camps, to concentration camps, was very traumatic. He was separated from his parents. The family was put into a ghetto in Riga. There was a series of transfers. It was.
Yes. In 1941, the Germans came in. They immediately took his father and his uncle, killed them. He, his mother, and brother went into the ghetto, and 6 months later, the Nazis and the Latvians took 25 to 30,000 Jews out to Rumla Forest and executed them over 2 days. That's when he lost his mom. He and his brother survived, went through some camps, never saw each other after being in Stutthof, and his brother chose to go back to Latvia, and believe it or not, the communists put him in a concentration camp for 4 months. Kalman did not want to go back to Latvia. He said, "They killed my parents." And so he did not. He made a big decision to leave Europe.
Well, you mentioned that he was a prodigy, and he did survive partly by really sort of trying to go fly under the radar,
yes.
He says, but
yes.
Also by his art. Just this past weekend, a short film about a Holocaust survivor won an Academy Award. It was a woman who was a pianist who spent some time in the same camp that Kalman Aaron wound up in, Therese Eisenstadt, if I'm saying it right. And her music was something that she used to not just survive, but it was something spiritual. Did Kalman Aaron feel that way about his visual art at that time?
He took the chance of drawing sketches of guards, and then they would share it, and he got extra pieces of bread for that. Drawing has always been a matter of sanity for him, but it helped him survive.
So it was a practical thing.
It was a very practical thing. He said, "You live 1 minute at a time." And when I asked him, "How did you survive?" his answer was, "I was lucky I was young. I could work hard. I never gave up hope. If someone gave up hope in the camps, 2 days later they would be dead. I took the chance of getting the extra piece of bread by drawing, and he had a sustaining relationship to nature because he used to draw landscapes as a boy. And he said to me, the Nazis can't remove the stars from the sky nor the sun from rising in the morning. So his relationship to nature sustained him. But fundamentally, he used every resource he could to stay alive, and he made split-second decisions. Now, the other thing you referred to is huge in his story. He literally taught himself how to become invisible. I don't know how to do that. That invisibility equated to life, stayed with him for a lifetime, and he was afraid to tell his story, to be seen on a larger stage. He's not as well known as the quality of his art because he always stayed under the radar in order to survive.
I'm talking with Susan Bielby McGee, and her new book, Into the Light, is about the emotional and artistic journey of the painter Kalman Aaron. He came to the United States with his first wife, landed in, as you mentioned, in Los Angeles, and I think you said he had like $4 in his pocket.
Yes.
And the ability to draw things. That's pretty much what he came with. You also mentioned he made a living as a portraitist. He sort of had these two paths, it seemed, the very practical side of him that used the skills that he had, and those were artistic, to survive. But his art is also divided into those two things. It's, you know, the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts, making beautiful portraits of people. But he used it for something else. He used those skills to, I think, emotionally channel things that you don't see in the portraits.
He did. The story is really about his response to his experience over a lifetime of painting. And you see, his story was in his art. And, mm-hmm. If I asked Kalman, what was your reaction to the Holocaust? How did you heal from it? He would not be able to cognitively answer that. But if you look at his paintings, you see him work out the evil that he experienced on canvas with the mother and child and with children that are in the darkness. And then over time, you see his landscapes that were gray and lifeless come to life with color and light and spirit. So you literally see his internal landscape heal on canvas over 5 decades of painting.
There's also a series of self-portraits that he does, and you at one point in the book you have them, 3 of them next to one another, and you're looking. You have the benefit of hindsight because you know how the story ended, but you're looking in particular at how he portrays not just the color that he uses, but what his eyes, what comes out of his eyes.
Yes, the one that's the most revealing to me is the one at age 30. He did a drawing with pencil. And if you look at his eyes, they're not focused together. One, they're not looking at the same reality. One feels like it's caught back in the Holocaust. And the other one is present in L.A. but weary, but they're not coordinated yet. So what that suggests to me, and one side of his face is in the light and one is in the darkness. At age 30, he has not integrated the two realities that he's experienced. Then you fast forward to a portrait at age 43, which is full of color, but the sorrow in the eyes is still extremely palpable. So he didn't gain any peace in his life, quite literally, until this book was published. Mm. And I was never sure if he would stay alive to see it published. And we did a presentation of it, the first one in Los Angeles at the Museum of Tolerance in L.A., and I watched him in the audience. He was honored by 2 governors, Davis and Pete Wilson, and Marvin Heyer, who is the founder of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. For the first time, he came up on stage, and he was beaming. He finally gained peace when this book was published.
Susan Bielby McGee's book about the artist Kalman Aaron is called Into the Light. She's going to speak tonight at the Central Seattle Public Library downtown. Her talk starts at 7 o'clock.